Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Christ is all. As far as Paul was concerned, the Lord Jesus Christ was everything. There were those in Colossae who played up national entities. They highlighted cultural differences. And Paul explains, irrespective of whether a person was a Jew or Gentile by birth, irrespective of whether a person was a slave or a free man, religious or irreligious, he makes it clear that Christ is all to those who are truly his. There are many in the world today to whom the Son of God is nothing. The Lord rarely, if ever, enters into their thoughts. There are those who take the Lord's lovely name and use it profanely. To multitudes, the Lord Jesus is as a root out of a dry ground, having no form nor comeliness. The people can see no beauty in him that they should desire him. But to those who believe, the Lord is precious. He is all. He is everything. These three words are the essence of Christianity. Christ is all. This truth, how far does your heart go along with it? Is the Lord everything to you? You're all in all. Oh, let us explore our text, looking at it from three angles. First of all, considering together why Christ is all. Who can claim to be all? Only the one in whom all fullness dwells. Paul can say of Christ in chapter 1 and verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Look at what we read in chapter 2 of Colossians and verse 9. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." The word fullness, it means the sum total of all that God is, all of his being and attributes. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In verse 15 of chapter 1, speaking of the Lord, the verse says he is the image of the invisible God. The word image comes from a Greek root from which we get our English word icon. It means a precise copy, an exact reproduction. And Jesus Christ is the exact revelation of God. Hebrews 1 and verse 3 tells us that the Lord is the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. That phrase, the express image, is the print left by a seal on the wax. Jesus Christ exactly mirrors God, because in very essence, He is God. He is all that God is. He is our Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ eternally is, ever was, and will forever be, in all respects, God in all His being and attributes. So in Christ, there is the fullness of wisdom, of love, of power, the fullness of grace, of patience and forbearance, a fullness of all that we need for now and for all eternity. No wonder Charles Wesley said, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in Thee I find." Oh, you can never exhaust all the fullness that is in the Lord. There's more than enough in Him to meet your every need. You can visualize the missionary out in Brazil going down to the banks of the mighty Amazon and dipping in his jar the fullness of the Amazon fills him. But the missionary's jar can never contain all the water of the Amazon, nor can you contain the fullness of deity. But chapter 2 of Colossians in verse 10 says, "Ye are complete in Him." Ye are filled full in Him. Paul is able to say, "Christ is all, for He is God, God of very God." The Lord Jesus could say, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." We have considered why Christ is all. Let us consider, secondly, how Christ is all. He is all in salvation. The Lord was the sum and the substance of Paul's preaching. Notice with me in chapter 1 and verse 27, where Paul says to the believers in Colossae, in those final words of the verse, "Christ in you, the hope, the guarantee of glory." And then he goes on in verse 28, speaking of Christ, "whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." This servant of God, he lived to preach Christ. And we see from verse 29 that he not only lived to preach Christ, he labored in preaching Him. "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily." Christ and Him crucified, that is the message for Jew and Gentile. Souls are born again, not of the human bloodstream, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All must come to God through Christ. His righteousness is the only robe which can clothe us aright. His blood is the only fountain in which our hearts black with sin can be washed whiter than snow. His name is our only shibboleth at the gate of heaven. Our Christ is all in salvation. He is the mighty to save. How many present today can say upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon his life, upon his death, I stake my whole eternity. The Lord is all in salvation. He is all in sanctification. We see in Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 30 that Christ Jesus of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He has made unto us sanctification. Here in Colossians chapter 3, Paul is arguing for the setting apart of the Christian's life unto God. Notice in verses 9 and 10, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. He's speaking of putting off the old man with his deeds. And then in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Paul is arguing for the setting apart of the Christian's life to God. The word translated in verse 10, renewed, it has the idea in it of being constantly renewed. Here is the ongoing work of sanctification. This ought to be our abiding desire, to become more and more like the Savior, our lives bearing the stamp of his image. The Lord sends his Spirit into our hearts as a refiner's fire to burn up the dross, to cause our lives to glow with his likeness, just like gold purified from the dross. This is the Lord's purpose in redeeming us. As we read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, we have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. We have been predestinated to be conformed to the Lord's image. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him. He is all in salvation, all in sanctification. He is all in service. We think of when Peter and the other disciples went out fishing through the night. The account is in John chapter 21 and verse 3. Simon Peter said to the rest, I go a fishing. And they responded, we also will go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing. It was a fruitless exercise. They returned to the shore with an empty net. Verse 4 says, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? Have you any fish? And they had to say, No. The whole scene is transformed when we come to verse 6. The Lord said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. When the Lord took command of the vessel, when the net was cast on the right side of the ship, what a multitude of fish were caught. What a vivid illustration of John 15 and verse 5, when the Lord said, Without me, ye can do nothing. Severed from me, ye can do nothing. The Lord is all in all to his people in his service. Jonathan and his armor bearer had a notable victory over the Philistines. There were just the two of them. But Jonathan wrought with God. After the battle, Saul put the people under oath not to eat any food until he had struck a decisive blow against the Philistines himself. But Jonathan, unaware of his father's foolish law not to eat, he ate honey. Saul, greatly displeased with Jonathan, he said, He shall surely die. But in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 45, the people reasoned with Saul. The people said unto Saul, Shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Do you see the significant, the striking words? The people said of Jonathan, He hath wrought with God this day. There's the secret of Jonathan's decisive victory. He wrought with God. Oh, let us not go in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. May it be true more and more of us that we are workers together with God. He is all in service. Then the Lord is all in the storms of life. It is the reality that the Christian must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of heaven. We think of Paul's experience. He spells it out for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death, he said, even in ourselves. And as with this great apostle, so with ourselves, troubles and trials abound in this life. Reverend Henry Lyth, the composer of the hymn, abide with me. At the height of his usefulness, he was told that he had only a matter of weeks to live. He was gripped by a fatal consumption. He went into his study, sat down, and wrote the beautiful words, "I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me." Yes, the Lord is all. He is everything to his people. Amid the trials, the troubles, and the tribulations and shadows of this life, the Lord is as a brother born for adversity. He is the God not only of the hilltops, the sunshine, he is also the God of the valleys, the shadows. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, we learn that we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord is the one who draws alongside in our times of need. And he is all in the streets of glory. Like the altar in Solomon's temple, Christ draws every eye in heaven. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, John says, "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Do you see how the Lord is the one who in the glory is in the midst? He is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. The glorified sing with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing." Then lastly, we think of what are the implications. Christ is all. Then make him all in your affection. If Christ is all, if you are complete in him, then love him more than all. He is not loved at all if he is not loved above all. It's written of the woman who anointed the feet of the Savior in the Pharisee's house in Luke chapter 7 and verse 47. She loved much. Oh, may you and I love him with all our hearts, with all our strength, with all our might. May Christ be more and more precious to us. Make him all in your affection. Make him all in adversity. When everything around you is discouraging, encourage yourself in him who is all. When your wants and losses are crushing, when all fails, rejoice in him who is your all. We think of how Habakkuk did that. There in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, what a dismal time he was in. The fig tree did not blossom. There was no fruit in the vines. The labor of the olive had failed. The fields yielded no meat. The flock, he speaks of it, them being cut off from the fold, and no herd in the stalls. Oh, what a bleak situation. And in verse 18 of Habakkuk chapter 3, the prophet said, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." The Lord is his people's rock in life's storm. He's their strong tower into which you can run and find safety. Make him all in your ambitions. Do all to his glory. This was the Alpha and Omega of Paul's life, its beginning and conclusion. In Philippians chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21, Paul says, "So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He did not live for self. He lived for the Savior. Daniel put his finger on the blot in the life of Belshazzar in Daniel 5 and verse 23. When Daniel said to Belshazzar, "The God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified." Do not live a misspent life. Do not miss the mark. Do all to the glory of God. And make Christ all in your acceptance with God. Men and women are undone who face eternity without him. There's nothing for the soul that despises Christ, that rejects him, nothing but judgment and fiery indignation. Christ is all. Only his worthy merits, his blood shed so freely, can redeem your soul from hell's destruction. He alone can heal all your soul's diseases. If you're not a Christian, flee to him. Do not wait until you are his and he is yours. For it is only he who hath the Son that has life. He that has not the Son of God does not have life. The only hope that Jacob had of seeing Joseph's face in Egypt was by sending Benjamin, the son of the right hand. And the only hope that you can have for the great eternity is by trusting in the Son of God, who has been exalted to the Father's right hand, our Prince and our Savior. Christ is all in your acceptance with God. Oh, receive him today. Have saving faith in Christ. Obey the gospel, and then you too will reiterate with our text, Christ is all. He is everything, all in all to me. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts today.